6, verse 18. And we're talking about being doers of the word. But in order to be doers of the word, we have to understand something of God's word. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. That's got to be something that is so rooted in you from a deep inside knowing. And I know people struggle with this. They'll say God cannot lie, but they act like God lies all the time. See, what God said in His Word is true. And His promises for you are yea and amen. So, when we see something in His Word, and we want it, we just have to receive it. We have to accept it as being so understanding full well that God cannot lie. Jesus cannot lie. Holy Spirit cannot lie. They will always agree with each other, and they will always agree with the Word. Now go to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. God got rid of the Old Testament. Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament law and brought in a New Testament. Now, something about testament. Testament means will. This is a new living will. He wrote out His will for us. And He's also alive to oversee that will. See, usually when somebody makes out a will, like Grandma is really rich and she makes out a will, and then, you know, when she dies, she'll have a lawyer or somebody who's really trusted to oversee that will to make sure things go the way she wanted. Jesus came back to life so He can oversee His will to make sure His will is done in your life. He just needs some cooperation from us. And what that cooperation is agreement. We agree with His word. That's how we humble ourselves, is by agreeing with His word. By actually calling ourselves what the word says. There's a false pride. There's a sense of pride that people get into when they try to talk themselves down. You know, God will say, you are a son. You are a son. Pride will say, I'm a lowly servant. That's not what God said at all. He said, you're a minister of the highest rank. We do serve. We don't take that lightly. We do serve, but you're not a lowly servant. Now, God the Father, Jesus, and the very throne of God are back of His Word. It cannot fail. God's Word cannot fail. Now, there's a teaching running around that says, God cannot fail, His Word cannot fail. So, if you're not getting something, there's nothing wrong with God, there's nothing wrong with His Word. So it must be you. That's false. That's false. There's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with His Word. And there's nothing wrong with you. Sometimes we have doubts. You know, we see something in the Word and we wonder how in the world. You know, maybe the circumstance that we're facing seems insurmountable. And then we see a promise in God's Word that says that it can master that circumstance. But maybe we've been dealing with this problem for a long, long time. And we look at that word and we say, how can this be? How can this come to be in my life? By thanking God for that promise. Remember, Jesus got to the tomb, at Lazarus' tomb, and he went up there and he said, Father, I thank you that you hear me, and I thank you that you always hear me. And then he said, Jesus, come forward. Or Lazarus, come forward. And Lazarus came forward. Jesus thanked his way into a miracle. As far as God's concerned, he has given us all things freely with Christ Jesus. So, does it make sense to ask him for something that he's already given you? If he's already given you something, why would you ask for it? If he's given it to you, our job would then be to thank him for it. That would be the ticket to receiving the things that we need from heaven. To thank him for the things that we need. Thank him for the things that he has provided. He's already provided everything. We have to receive it. Look at John chapter 1. Did you know this is the beginning of the Bible? John chapter 1. The Bible doesn't start in Genesis. This is the beginning of the Bible, right here. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared to him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then art thou, Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were the Pharisees. And they asked him, and said unto him, why baptizest thou, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After he cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples. The word with whom we have to do, that word is the Creator. That word is Jesus. That word is the Creator and the creative element of the universe. And here's a really cool thing I learned a long time ago. In verse 5, it says, The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. For the longest time, I thought that word comprehended. I thought, well, the light shined in the darkness, but darkness cannot understand it. That's not what that means. The correct translation, that word comprehend, that means the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness could not overtake the light. The darkness could not overpower the light. When you shine light in darkness, the darkness goes away. It's an interesting thing to find out that there's really no darkness, but there is absence of light. So when you shine light into the darkness cannot overtake the light. You've been giving authority over the darkness. Now, look at Hebrews. Well, that one thing I want to stop right there where we are. Understand this. That the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld and called Him Jesus. Whenever we're looking at the Word, you're looking directly at Jesus. He is the Word. The Word is the seed of God. And when we take that seed into us, it causes life to happen in us. It chases darkness away. The more Word in you, the less darkness. John said that he must decrease so that Jesus could increase. We're all in that same boat. I know we got all these fabulous personalities and we're all individuals and we've been made uniquely different and all this yada, yada, yada stuff. But in reality, we need to decrease so that Jesus could increase. And if you stay in the Word long enough and you look back at yourself 10, 15, 20 years down the road, you look back at your old self, you're not recognizable. That's not the same you. You're not the same person. You're a new creature and God keeps bringing you forward and He keeps peeling parts of you off like an onion. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto his eyes of him with whom we have to do. The Word with whom we have to do. Here's the thing. We contact God through the Word. God contacts us through the Word. And then we act on the Word. The Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance. But you have to put something in there for Him to bring to remembrance. That's why it's so important to at least read the Bible like a novel at least once. And then go back and study your favorite books or chapters, you know, or study along as you be led. But get that thing in there so that He has something to work with. When you get His Word in there, He has something to remind you of. See, then you have the witness of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will remind you of His Word. That's how He has intelligent conversations with us. When we get His Word in us, then He can have an intelligent conversation. A lot of times, people tell me that they heard from God and they got a great idea, and they'll ask them about their great idea. And it's not surprising to me how many traps are set in their great idea. You know, it'll be a lot of different things. But I know they haven't had enough time in the Word to be able to actually have an intelligent conversation with God. They'll hear what they want to hear, but here's something you absolutely have to understand is Satan can talk to you too. And Satan, you know, when a guy first gets born again, he has to understand that Satan has had more practice talking to him. He's had more practice hearing from Satan than he has from God. And Satan, he can twist things up and he can make things look pretty and make things look good and say, this is a God. You know, that apple must have looked really good to get Adam to eat it, or whatever that fruit was, but it must have looked really good. See, Satan knows how to make things look good to people to get them to sin, get them to miss the mark, get them to get off the trail. Well, honestly, if it's not pretty, if it's not glamorous, if it doesn't look good, you know, like, who's going to jump on a piece of raw liver? But now, if he lays a big old piece of prime rib out there, that's different now, isn't it? And that looks a lot better. People aren't going to jump at the prospects of making 10 bucks when they can make 100,000. See, Satan will say, you can do this. Here's 100,000 over here. And then they go in there and they get all messed up and all things are all bad and they miss the boat. He's always going to use something shiny to get our attention. People are often like cats. If you take a shiny lid, hang it from a string from a tree, and let that shiny lid flip around in the sun, bobcats will come to that shiny lid. People are like cats. They see something shiny and they lose their focus. That's why it's so important to stay focused on the Word so you don't get led off the trail. Now go back to James chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, we can see why it's so important to understand what we're, who we're dealing with when we're talking about the Word. We're dealing with the God that cannot lie. And if we expect to be doers of the Word and be blessed in our deeds, we have to understand that when God says something to us, we can be fully persuaded that what He said to us, He would also perform in us. Here's another important part of this. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, says, He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, it's one thing to be told that, and then you can be sitting there wondering and say, man, if I go out there and try to tell somebody about Jesus and lay hands on the sick, what's going to happen? See, but if we understand that God will do what He said He would do, that gives us confidence and boldness to go out there and say, okay, I can go out there and lay hands on the sick. And here's the cool thing about Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. So we don't have to sit around and wait for a goosey, bumpy feeling to feel like we're anointed enough or have built up enough faith to go out there and pray for somebody. Actually, we may not even feel anything. We give up. When we lay it all on Jesus and look to Him as the only one that could do it, things happen. Because then we're putting our faith in the right place, in Jesus and not in us. Because if we're waiting for this special feeling before we go do something, then somehow it's about us. Like, if we feel anointed enough, then we can go do it. No, you don't have to feel anointed. You don't have to feel special or nothing. All you have to do is do what Jesus said to do and look to Him. Look unto Him. Let Him do the doing. Our part is pretty easy. We go do the asking, and He does the doing. Let's go to John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. says, Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Everybody wants to do miracles. Everybody wants to do the cool things. They want to be seen. They want to be heard. They want to do the greater things that Jesus talked about. But all too often, they don't want to do the first thing that Jesus talked about. That is to go out there and witness to people. Go out there and pray for people. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know, and usually, it's going to be out in the street. You're not going to be seen. You're not going to be heard from. Nobody's going to be around. But that's what He asked you to do. People wonder why they don't get to do the big cool things. It's because they didn't do the first small things. And here's the service work part, the service part. We are sons of God, and because we are sons of God, we serve Him. We're not lowly servants, but we do serve Him. And a lot of times, He'll give us some small tasks to start us off with. He'll give us an easy job. It may seem hard, but that first step will be a small step. We'll go witness to that first person. That first person that we witness to seems like, to me, it was a gut-wrenching experience. My head was spinning 500 miles an hour. But once I got through that first one, the next one was a little better. And then the next one was a little better. And then all of a sudden it was several. And then pretty soon it was 100. And then, you know, and then it got worse. Okay, it's okay. God really is with me, and He really is going to do what He said He would do. You know, and you can talk to a lot of people, and a lot of people can get born again. But it's not going to start with hundreds. It's going to start with one. But don't be ashamed of that one small job. One thing that always stays on my mind is that account of that Sunday school teacher that only had four kids for a long time. But he faithfully taught those four kids in his Sunday school class. This guy could have got frustrated and said, I'm not wasting my time on four kids. I'm better than this. I should have 15. No, he stayed faithful to those four. And one of those grew up to be Billy Graham. And I don't know how many millions and millions and millions of people got born again in that man's ministry. But millions and millions and millions. You know, I got to believe that his Sunday school teacher at some point was looking down from heaven saying, man, look what God trusted me with. See, we don't really know what God's going to do with our small assignment. When we take that small assignment and trust it to Him, He can turn it into a big thing. But we got to do that small assignment. We got to be doers of the Word. We got to take Him at His Word and believe in Him that it's going to be okay. Just follow His direction. Amen? Thank You, Father, for Your Word. We praise You in the name of Jesus. We thank You that everything Jesus said to us and about us and for us is ours, and it is 100% true. We thank You that You did an absolutely perfect work in us. We may not see it, but You do. You did the perfect sacrifice. And that's what we run to, is Jesus. We thank You that Your work in us is going to continue, and it's going to continue to change us. It's going to continue to grow us, and it's going to continue to lead us. We thank You for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.